This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey, pod people, thank you for joining us today. Today you have Ben and Steve. So what up, Steve?
Hey, Ben. Welcome, pod people.
So today, Steve has brought me a story that we're going to go over, and it reminds me a lot of my childhood, and I'll tell you why. So before we jump into what this story is, Steve, you remember my mom.
I do. Lovely woman.
Probably a few years before you met her, though, we lived in a not great neighborhood. I mean, you remember my house down on 16th Street?
Yeah.
We had neighbors, right? Like, we would always play basketball in my backyard, and sometimes the ball would go over the fence into their yard. Part of it was our fault, but I think these people just really hated kids, so they would steal our ball. And one day, my mom actually, like, went to their front porch, banged on the door screaming, "Give my kids back, probably their effing ball," type of stuff, because my mom was a firecracker. They gave our ball back. But we had these ongoing problems with these people. And I don't know if they just hated kids or if we were loud. They were white, we were white. So there was no racial aspects to that story. There's a little bit more racial aspects to this story. I guess there could be, because a lot of my friends were not white. Like, it was a pretty much white and black neighborhood. I won't say interracial, but it's like just two races, basically, like a lot of urban areas. So maybe there were those kind of aspects. I've never really thought about the other people's side because I was a child, but who knows, man? A couple that were probably in their 40s. Maybe they wanted kids and couldn't have kids, so now they hate kids. I mean, I don't know their life, but I don't know. Like, I was going to ask if you had any kind of weird dynamics with neighbors or whatever, but you kind of came from a better neighborhood, so things were probably not like that, but I don't know. Did you have any of that type of stuff growing up?
No, we had a pretty open neighborhood. Like, there were some older folks in our neighborhood, but they didn't really seem to bother us. And, I grew up in, like, two different neighborhoods, so, like, one till I was 12, and then we moved into a new house when I was 12, and then I lived there till went off to college. And so I was thinking, and I neither of those neighborhoods did I run into any issues. But and then since we've had our son, I was thinking about it, and we lived in a neighborhood in Kentucky for the first couple years after he was born, and then we moved to Middletown, Ohio. That neighborhood was mostly older people, very few kids. But never an issue. Oscar wasn't the type of kid, and we weren't the type of parents let him, like, run around anywhere he wanted. And there was a park down the road, but it was far enough away from people's houses that, like, you could go and play, and there was no issue. And now our neighborhood now, there's kids everywhere, and so he's a lot more open to, and he's older, and so he's always running around at different friends' houses, and he does cut through yards, but we've never had an issue, and we've been really lucky because of that, because I know that there's some terrible neighbors out there that really don't do well with having kids around.
You have to be somewhat sympathetic to the children, especially if you live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of children. Like, that's just gonna be par for the course. But, like, I kind of see, like, we were a little bit rug ratty when I was younger, and we probably were loud and probably disturbed them somewhat, and so I can kind of see that aspect, but I don't know. So anyways, let's move on to our case, guys. We always kind of, like, brainstorm over what case we want to do, and I was like, "Steve, you've been talking about these Florida man cases for a while. Why don't we do, like, some sort of Florida man compilation?" Steve's like, "Oh, no, I don't want to do Florida man anymore. Florida man is all played out." So I was like, okay, Steve, what you got? And he comes to me with this killer story. You ready, folks? Florida woman. He changed genders on me.
You know, I gotta say, you did a really nice job with an impersonation. That was dead on.
I've been working on that since I was 12.
I thought you played a tape of my voice. That was really good.
So without further ado, Florida woman who fatally shot a black neighbor admitted hurling racial slurs at victim's children in the past. This is going to be a bit of a racial one here. And when you get all the details, there's pretty like no way to cut that part out. The title is very much trying to spark a racial type of debate, but I mean, this is definitely a case that is laden with that because the perpetrator admits even to the racial slurs, right? So we got issues here throughout this case. So her name is Susan Louise Lorenz. This is the person that committed the crime, and she's a 50-year-old white woman who was arrested on the charge of manslaughter on Tuesday, 4 days after investigators say she fatally shot AJ. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but she goes by AJ Owens.
It might be a GK.
A GK. That's probably closer to the truth. Through her front door at her home in Ocala, Florida, as Owens repeatedly knocked on her door. So my first question to you is, just from like a glance of this case, obviously, you know, I went further, but even at this point, I instantly was like, how the fuck is this manslaughter? Like, I almost could see this leaning towards hate crime, right? Like, the victim's on her door, on her porch, knocking on the door. If she's screaming shit at you and you're worried about your life, I think you would call the police. But, like, shooting through the door, she does say she's trying to aim higher at one point and, like, just scare her, but it's like, that's crazy shit. Like, why is this manslaughter?
When this case came out, when AJ was killed, originally, the woman, Susan Lorenz, that's what I'm going to say her name. Lorenz. Yeah, so she's a 58-year-old woman, and originally she wasn't arrested at all. And then it gained national news because, you know, there were a lot of people calling for her to be arrested. And a lot of speculation was that this would fall under the Florida Stand Your Ground laws. So, are you familiar with the Stand Your Ground law?
I mean, I'm familiar that you have the right under it to protect your property, but I'm not sure of the details of it.
Well, so this law, the biggest story surrounding this law was back in 2012, George Zimmerman, who was a self-described or volunteer neighborhood watchman, and he sees a kid walking down the street in like a hoodie. He doesn't recognize the kid. The kid is like 14, and he calls the police. And the police say, "Don't go over to him. We'll check it out." And he keeps following him. And the kid is walking back from the store. He's got like some Skittles and whatever. Now, despite the fact that the police told him not to engage with the kid, George Zimmerman engages with them and is like, "Who are you? Why are you here?" And the kid, rightfully so, doesn't want to answer him. And is like, "Go away," probably in harsher terms. They get into a fight, a physical altercation in which George Zimmerman shoots Trayvon Martin, is the boy's name. Trayvon Martin is killed. And he was found not guilty because of the Florida Stand Your Ground laws, meaning that you have a right, if you are threatened,
but he wasn't,
to stand your ground. That's the thing.
Ugh.
And that's why so many people were upset, and that's why so many people are upset. Because the idea is that George Zimmerman approached the kid because he's wearing a hoodie and because he's black.
Yeah.
You know, and so this becomes an issue of, you know, it's an excuse for scared white people,
yeah,
to be violent toward black people. When Susan Lorenz shoots her, that's the fear in the black community and communities of allies. They're afraid that this woman is going to get off because of the Stand Your Ground laws. The idea that she's been convicted of manslaughter.
It's a lesser charge, so it might stick.
Right. with each of the degrees of homicide, you have to prove a certain amount of, like, responsibility. And so I think that they're going with manslaughter so that they can, so that this has a better chance of working. You know, I think with the Trayvon Martin case, I think they went for homicide one or whatever, or murder one, and they had to prove that when George Zimmerman approached him, it was his intent to kill him. And so there's the burden of proof changes for each one of the different crimes that they are indicted on. So I think that's why they're going with manslaughter.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's a good guess. It's like, I mean, my mind jumps to, like, to even, like, hate crime. And, like, I want to talk to you a little bit about hate crimes later because you probably know more than I do in that regard as far as what would constitute one. But because a hate crime, can't you even get the death penalty for a hate crime? And what would constitute one?
But a hate crime has to be a person commits a crime against someone else based formally on that person's identity within a protected group.
Now, okay.
A protected group would be like a minority group who has been the subject of persecution. So, based on sexuality, based on race.
Since Lorenz seems pretty fucking racist, that's not enough. Even though it's the same people she's been kind of harassing, because the person came to her. And at this point, she can say it's standing her ground. She didn't go after them because of race. She went after them because right. They came after her.
That would make it a hard sell. Right, exactly. And just because somebody is a racist doesn't necessarily mean that. And I think the law is, you know, purposely, I don't want to say vague, but difficult to prove because it has a very high burden of proof, but it has a very strict penalty against it as well. And so you really have to prove that person did this based solely or primarily on that person's race, sexuality, you know, gender, whatever.
Yeah.
And
when I think about it, go back to my basketball story. My mom goes to Lorenz's house, banging on the door to get my basketball back. Does Lorenz shoot her, my mom being white? And the answer, I think, is, yeah, Lorenz shoots her.
You know, quite possibly. Quite possibly. I think this woman was a raging racist. And
she was, for sure.
The story. But, yeah, it's, well, you know, like, the reason that she kept a gun near her door, probably.
Because she has black children playing in the neighborhood, yeah.
But yeah, specific hate crime, I think those need to be saved for when, you know, when a person is, I can see it, but I just don't think that it's going to be something you can prove in court.
I mean, Zimmerman got off that, yeah. But to me, that was a hate crime, correct?
It doesn't qualify because, you know, if he's on the 911 making racist slurs or, you know, telling the kid that he's not allowed in the neighborhood because he's black or whatever it is, like, then possibly. But we know, or at least, you know, it's not that hard to assume that, you know, Zimmerman doesn't approach a white kid of the same age who's walking back to the store with candy in his hand.
Yeah.
You know?
And Zimmerman's, like, defense is, like, he's wearing a hoodie. How many teenagers do you know that wear hoodies? Because the answer is all of them.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been, I think, 11 years since that happened.
Yeah.
So, but let's get into the facts.
Two witnesses that are believed to be the victim's children, one of Owen's sons, told the deputy that he'd been playing basketball in the street while his younger brother, who was 10, played in a nearby field. The child told the deputy that his younger brother informed him he had left his electronic tablet in the field and said Lorenz picked it up. This is where my mind went, taking our basketball that rolled into their yard. Like, she grabs the tablet, which she does later deny that she ever took the tablet, so you gotta hearsay, he said, she said type of thing. What should they have done instead of sending their mom over? Like, should these people have called the police? I mean, now again, we're looking at a population of people that not necessarily thinking the police are a protective entity. So what's the right thing to do?
The kids have been playing in a nearby area quite a bit. And so apparently Lorenz lives in an apartment that is near the area, near the field.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Lorenz has taken ownership of that field where the kids play. And so she's trying to tell them that they can't play there. And for whatever reason, they're too loud or whatever it is, but you don't get to do that.
So there was a field also in my neighborhood. We had a lot of these kind of neighbors. And then we had a lot of neighbors that were older that just loved the children, and we could go talk to them all day. But so we used to play wiffle ball, right? You know, wiffle balls have no weight to them. They're pretty harmless.
Right.
In a field, and it was by a neighbor's yard. And they were older people, and the guy would always come out anytime the wiffle ball would hit his house. And it barely would hit his house. I mean, it was a pretty far distance. Like, you're not talking like we're cranking at it from like 3 feet out. He called the police on us. They came to the field, talking about a bunch of little Rugrat kids, and in front of us all, it was like the policeman became the hero that day, because he told them, look, these kids are going to play in this field, and if you don't want this wiffle ball to hit your house, you need to put up a fence. And it was, like, the best thing that ever happened in my neighborhood. But it reminds me, again, of like, this lady taking ownership of this field.
Yeah, we have the right to live wherever we want. And if you find yourself in a community that you don't like, then you move. If you find yourself physically next to something that doesn't make you happy, you move. Now, my guess is that people like your neighbor there and Lorenz don't have the financial means to
move,
to change locations, that this is where they're stuck. And, you know, you hear it all the time when somebody's in a bad situation, and, you know, people say, well, suck it up, you know, you deal with it, that's your choices in life have led you to there. That's the reality of where of what's going on here.
Yeah,
they are now. This is also a great argument for investing in public parks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If these kids had a better place to go to, maybe this doesn't happen, you know? You see it in impoverished neighborhoods, and I'm guessing that this neighborhood, you know, it might not be terribly impoverished. It may be a lower economic scale.
Yeah.
And so, but you deal with the realities of where you live. Now, you question about what should AJ have done, right? But you have this situation where your kids are out playing, and there's this woman who treats them poorly. They're getting called racial slurs. They're getting stuff thrown at them because she throws a skate.
According to the 10-year-old, Lorenz asked her to return the tablet, and she threw it on the ground, so probably broke it, and yelled at him, and then she threw roller skates at him. Now, nothing I saw said whether or not these were, like, his skates or whatever, but, like, according to Lorenz later, she's just, like, trying to give him back the skates, so I don't know if, like, he left skates somewhere at some point, too. But, yeah, she throws roller skates at him, and then he threatens to tell his mom. Yes.
She has a history of taking their stuff.
Yes. Out of a field that's not her property.
Right. So if my son comes home and says to us, like, hey, this neighbor up the street took my tablet, I left it, you know, not on their property, but in a field, you know, next to their property, and they picked it up, and I asked for it back, and they threw it down, they threw something at me. My wife immediately is running over there, just like AJ. But I don't think that her going over there is the wrong thing. That's my immediate, if there's an issue in my neighborhood with a neighbor and my child, I'm gonna go over there, and
yeah,
I'm gonna address it the best I can. Like, all right, we're gonna deal with this.
Yeah, and that's fair. The problem is we don't know what happened, right? I mean, that's always the problem. We don't know. And Lorenz says she's like banging on the door, saying, "I'm gonna fucking kill you," type of shit, right? So that's a little bit different than I know how you and Connie would go approach that situation, right?
Right. You know, I can imagine this woman going over there and banging on the door because she's pissed. My kids just got called a racial slur.
Yeah.
Stuff thrown at the bed.
That makes it worse.
I'm pissed. And maybe I am a little bit more, maybe I'm, my knock becomes a bang, right? And maybe my voice changes.
Yeah. Throw in the racial slurs. And then everything I said about how to approach the situation gets thrown out the window. So that's a really good point.
Now, you're absolutely right. You know, from AJ's perspective, calling the police has not been a positive thing for people in your community. And you hear on a regular basis stories of somebody calling the police, and like a black person calling the police, and they, the victim of the crime, ends up getting killed. Or the police mistake, you know, the victim for the perpetrator because they're black. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things here that can happen. And so, I can see why she doesn't call. And she wants to go over and she wants to deal with the situation. And much like I would want to.
Yeah.
Now is she going to be loud? Sure. But she also doesn't come over there with a weapon.
Right.
Lorenz makes no attempt to call the police if she feels threatened.
Right. And Lorenz is a white woman. I don't know her background as far as her dealings with law enforcement, but there's no, like, systemic racial issues as to why she couldn't call the police.
Right. And so, you know, she decided she can handle this situation on her own. And I guarantee you that while AJ's banging on her door, she's thinking, well, this is justified. I can protect my home by shooting.
Yeah.
It scares me that, you know, Lorenz is going to have her narrative. She's going to have her story.
And she does, yeah.
How this happened. AJ's not going to be able to tell hers. Now, my guess is that Lorenz has been arrested because there were enough neighbors.
That's what happens. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's kind of get into some of that.
Happened.
Yeah, so the older child tried to protect his little brother, and he goes and he yells at her, like, if you want to throw something, throw it at me type of shit. And she chases him off with an umbrella. The mother goes over there, and shortly after she approaches the front door and bangs on the door yelling for Lorenz to throw something at her if she wanted to throw something, kind of the same thing the older brother did, but he didn't approach the door. The children hear a loud bang and witness their mother stumbling away from the door while telling him to call 911, according to information obtained by the deputy. So, yeah, then later, you know, we'll get kind of into Lorenz's story of what happened, but the neighbors that were interviewed revealed that there was a history of negative interactions with the white woman, always yelling at the children who play and making false reports on them. So according to the neighbors interviewed, not only is this woman sort of harassing these kids, she also is frequently making false reports with the police. So we know if she's making false reports, she has contact with the police. So again, why didn't she call the police if this woman's on her door threatening her?
I bet the police know her. And I bet that the police haven't done, like you said, your interaction with the police when the one neighbor called him.
Yeah.
And the police actually took your side.
And they never called the police again. Right. So I see what you're saying.
Right. Build up a fence if you don't want to deal with this, but kids are allowed to be kids, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so my guess is that Lorenz called the police hoping that the police were going to be like, well, we're just going to have to arrest these children and this family and get them all out here. Thank you, your own neighbor.
Yes, the children are now in prison.
Right. And when that didn't happen, when she didn't get satisfaction there, that's probably why she didn't call him this time. And if she's filed several false police reports, then perhaps if she calls, the police aren't going to respond right away or at all. You know, and so she's a known entity to them. And so her calling and saying that the mother is, you know, like, at the door banging, you know, trying to bang it down, you know, I guarantee AJ is at the door saying, I am going to whoop your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Get out here.
You stole my kid's shit again. Yeah.
Yeah, she's breaking her kid's shit. She's calling her kids racial epithets. She's throwing stuff at them. She's swinging an umbrella at the kid. Like this is, you know, I'm imagining the choice words Connie would be using if Oscar or, you know, if our children were were in harm's way. I see enough of it, like, Oscar will come home and be like, yeah, kid was mean to me today at school, and I can see the
rage
on his forehead, like, I will whoop that kid's ass, you know, and so it's, it, you know, I guarantee she was doing that, but, like, you know, that is a normal reaction to shooting her through the door.
Yes. Now, later, I'm going to go over a few of the racial things that she supposedly has said, because they're fucking horrific. But let's go in to the defendant side of the story when she talks to police. You ready for her tale? The tale that she weaves?
Yeah.
All right, so...
let's hear it.
Lorenz told the deputy she'd been having problems with the same juveniles for the past few years due to their lack of respect for her peace and privacy. She said that the children have told her they want to kill her. So, I mean, if she's been threatened by these children and she's just trying to get some peace, sounds pretty dire. She's denied picking up the tablet and throwing roller skates at anyone. I didn't throw roller skates at anybody. Who the fuck makes up someone threw roller skates at me? Come on, player.
That's dumb.
That's dumb, right? So, she said she threw the roller skates near him in the yard, not at him. And told him to go fetch them. So I assume she's telling him to go fetch them, that they were his skates, but I don't know. I have no confirmation on that. And she said, possibly. So it's possible. Now, this isn't shit I would forget. I don't know if this lady has any sort of cognitive deficiencies like Alzheimer's or dementia or something where she might have memory issues. She said, it's possible I swung my umbrella at some of the neighborhood kids. Possible. If I swung a fucking umbrella at somebody, bro, I'd know.
She doesn't have cognitive delays. She has white bitch syndrome.
White bitch syndrome.
white privilege. She's, you know, she's done these things, but in her mind, always been on the other side of the line. Like, well, I didn't throw those roller skates at him, but I may have thrown them
near him
and told him to go fetch them. And I think the kid said he got hit in the toe with them, right?
Yeah.
But what a bitch move just to throw your stuff. Like, hand it back. Like, she's saying that they have no respect for her peace, right? She's got no respect for them. She treats them like animals. Go fetch.
Yes. Go fetch, right? And, like, I mean, I assume they're his roller skates, but if they're not, that's really weird. It's like, toss some roller skates, be like, go get those roller skates. Like, what does that even mean?
Right. They don't have to respect your peace. Your peace is yours to take care of. I guarantee you this didn't start with these kids knocking on her door all the time and throwing things in her window and whatever. They were playing in a field near where she lived.
Yeah.
It was loud and she didn't like it, and she probably just didn't like the sight of black
kids. Yeah, and then she started saying racial slurs.
Right, I guarantee you she started off by trying to solve the problem in any kind of positive way, like, you know what, maybe I'll get some earplugs. Oh, maybe I'll talk to their mom, you know, politely, and say, like, oh, I sleep during this time of day, and I'm having a hard time with this, or whatever. I guarantee you she went out there and she yelled at the kids.
Yes.
And so now, game on. You have not respected me. I'm not going to respect you. Yeah, 10 and 12 years old, they probably did say nasty things to her. Yeah, absolutely. Because he showed them that that's how
right. Treat me. Right. You're teaching them how to treat you. Exactly.
You know, all of this escalation, and I, you know, the swinging of the umbrella, like, oh, well.
Maybe.
I may have swung an umbrella.
I may have punched him in the neck.
It's like when your you know, older brother or sister is like, well, I didn't hit you, right? They swing at you, but they're like, well, I didn't touch him, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, but at this point, if she's trying to hit the kid with an umbrella, she's swinging it near him, doesn't actually hit him, and he runs away. Now, when you go tell AJ, it's like, this woman just tried to physically assault my child.
Yeah. Doesn't matter that she missed.
Right. She didn't try to miss. If she would have contacted, she would have contacted, right? All right, so the night of the shooting, Lorenz told the deputy that after she told all the children to leave, Owen suddenly appeared at her door and started banging on it while yelling, "I'm going to fucking kill you." So I don't know if there's any truth to that, but at this point, like, you've tried to physically assault one of her sons, you've stolen her other son's property, you've got a history of screaming racial stuff at her children. I'm not saying you should get on someone's doorstep and say, "I'm going to fucking kill you," but I think we've kind of established that it's kind of justifiable no matter what this woman's saying at this point, right? Because you're, like, going after her children.
I can very much see her saying something like that, being on the porch, and like, "I'm going to fucking whoop your ass, I'm going to fucking kill you. Get out here."
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and the thing is, like, if AJ's got a gun or a bat or some kind of weapon, if AJ had attacked her before...
Yeah, no account of that.
Then that's one thing. But, like, one, this woman knows that she's crossed the line with these kids. And so whatever ass-whooping AJ was going to put on her...
She knows it's deserved. Yeah.
She has earned this ass-whooping. And so she's rightly afraid to answer the door.
Yeah.
But that is something that you know, Mama Bear says when her kids have been fucked with. That, like, and so you know, call it hyperbole or call it whatever for her to come go up there and say, "I'm gonna fucking kill you." Like, saying it is one thing, right? Actually having a weapon and trying to do it is something completely different.
Right. And the reason why I'm almost positive that no weapon was involved is because she would have said that right away. But this is her talking to the police, and she says that she banged on the door with so much force that I thought to myself, and I think this is a really telling statement, "Oh my God, she's really going to kill me this time. This time." So she's been threatened by this lady before because she's been harassing these kids for fucking ever. Right? Like, she's like, "Oop, I pushed her too far this time." Right? So, and we've already discussed, right?
So she's had words. They've had words.
She already knows she's fucking with the wrong kids. So we've already kind of gone into what the neighbors said about it being false reports and all that. The younger son said that she had frequently called... She called them bastards and jackasses. Okay, whatever. I mean, you shouldn't call people's kids that. Like, you shouldn't call anyone that, but these random children you don't know. But then she said... And I don't think a 10-year-old's got the capacity to make this up. "This isn't the Underground Railroad, slave. Oh, my God. Oh, my God."
What the fuck?
Right? Damn.
What is wrong with people?
What is wrong with people? So a neighbor told deputies that the night of the shooting, Lawrence came out of her home and gave the children playing in the field the middle finger and yelled, "Get away from my house, you black slave." So these are the kind of things these children have been enduring from her. So you see why it's quite possible that AJ went on the door banging and saying, "I'm going to fucking kill you. You stole my kid's shit. You tried to attack my other kid with an umbrella. And you're screaming shit about them being slaves?" Crazy shit, right? That's why I was talking about it possibly being like hate crime status. But like you said, she didn't go after them because they were black on this occasion, right? Like, she says racial shit. She is a horrible racist human. She kind of feels like she gets the go-ahead to do this because, like you said, she clearly processed, "Ooh, she's on my porch. Now I got her," right? Type of thing. I forgot to say the part, though, where she says that she... I think we kind of mentioned it earlier, though, that she aimed higher on purpose just trying to scare her. It's like, bro, you shot through a door without even looking. Like, you don't care what happens.
But... If she hit her in the upper chest, you know, you're
not aiming high. What's this lady for?
Aiming straight.
Is Lawrence 4 foot two?
Right. And AJ is 6'7"? No.
Yeah.
No, that is a straight line shot. No, she bucked off a shot straight ahead. That doesn't hold water at all. That I tried to shoot high bullshit.
How long ago was this case? I didn't have a date on it, but it's real recent, right? Like,
this is in the last, like, yeah, like last few weeks. Let me see here.
I just wondered because her lawyer has currently said that they're not going to make a statement at this time. I mean, I feel like that's pretty normal, but like after like seeing all this shit, it's like fucking ladies screaming shit about kids being slaves, and she's like, yeah, I got no statements for you. I don't even know how the lawyer's even trying to defend her. I mean, that's what their job is. That's what they do. But it's like, good Lord.
Right.
And you're right, though. I mean, she could possibly get off for the stand your ground. So, I mean, the lawyer's got a good shot at it. It's just, this lady said such horrific things. It's like, it'd be hard to be, like, even trying to get her out of there.
I think this was on June, like, 3rd.
Okay.
So we're talking about, like, a week ago.
All right.
When we're recording this.
Yeah. So, very recent. A judge sent bond for $150,000 for a felony charge and $4,000 for misdemeanor counts for Susan Louise Lorenz, who earlier told the court she could only afford to pay, yeah, so, I mean, she's got money limitations, right? She says she only has $3,000 worth of furniture. She can't really pay her fees. It doesn't really say for sure what the rest of the neighborhood looked like, but we're probably talking about people that aren't in the greatest neighborhood in the world, but who knows?
Yeah, and the owner of the apartment where she lived told detectives she was being evicted.
Wow.
So Lorenz was in the process of being evicted as well, and so this is somebody who...
Yeah.
Now, I will have to watch this, because, you know, here's, of course, what happens. Like, this is the case where, you know, where it should be... litigated on the merits. You know, the defense attorney and the prosecutor should present their cases, and the strongest one wins. But we all know that these types of cases get politicized.
Yeah.
This woman, Susan Lorenz, is attacking AJ Owens and her children because they were black. And because
yes.
they were kids, and because they were happy, and because they were loud and all of those things, but it was them being black. We can see it from the things that she said. Now, this woman straight out came and said some horrible shit, and if she's admitting already that she made some racist comments, hopefully that means that people are gonna back off from it, right? But when you had Trayvon Martin's case, you had people who were defending Zimmerman, who were saying, like, he has a right to protect his neighborhood, and why was he wearing a hoodie? I mean, why didn't he just show his ID, and why wasn't he polite, and all of the, like, you have excuses made for the perpetrators and blame put on the victim. All these excuses that are made are to, you know, present a culture war, or to take sides. You know, that's what we love to do in this country, is take a side. Every news story we want to take a side. And there's this aesthetic, or this view of, like, the American defending his or her household, or defending their property against foreign invaders. And, you know, with that comes the idea that of people who don't look like you threatening you.
Yeah.
And so there is a significant segment of the population who is going to side with Lorenz, who are going to say, yeah, I've got nasty, loud kids that live near me. Yeah,
right.
I wish I could just pick up a gun and, you know, but hopefully, like I said, the fact that she was making, like, this isn't the underground railroad slave.
Oh,
like,
Lord Jesus. Oh.
Like,
makes you cringe, right? Like, your spirit cringes right when you hear this shit.
Right. God, if I were her neighbor, I would have punched her.
Yeah.
But hopefully what that means is a lot of people will stay back. But my fear was that somebody who would be on that side of the culture war, if you want to call it, would pay her bond.
Yeah.
And get her out of prison.
And, like, this is all, like, ongoing stuff, right? It's very recent, so you never know. If you just look at, I mean, like you said, like, you always have a side in these stories in your mind or whatever, but, like, I just look at it like this. I'm like, now we know she's being evicted, right? We don't know the reasoning, but I assume it's because she's not a great tenant. You've got all the neighborhood that they've talked to. I've seen no accounts of anyone siding with her. They're all saying that she's making these false claims and harassing these children. She's screaming shit about, again, the Underground Railroad and slaves to these children who, even from her own account, they don't have weapons. They're walking around with roller skates, basketballs, and tablets, right? Like, they don't have anything to threaten her. She said nothing about the mother having a weapon, but she's chasing these kids with an umbrella and shit. And it's just in my mind, I'm like, it's so crazy because we just live in a world where you just already assume she's going to get off, right? And I hate that thought because it's like if this was a white kid, there's zero chance she would get off. If this was a white family, there's zero chance she would get off. But because of being in Florida with the way their weird, wacky fucking laws are and the fact that this is a black family, there's so much chance she's going to get off that it just fills you with rage. Right?
It does, and it worries me. And, like, I know you're more into TikTok than I am. Like, I really don't watch this, those videos much or whatever, but I have seen a video, I think, of A.J. Owens' cousin sitting in a car. And this was one of the first videos that, like, went viral and made this case kind of national. You can see this not just rage, but this hopeless rage in her that, like, she can very much see this being just swept under.
And yeah.
Now, here's what's going against Susan Lorenz. There are two things, two factors.
The neighbors.
That I don't think she's going to get off. Well, no, the neighbors, absolutely. But no, I think these two factors are more important. Number one, she doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
She's not a prominent citizen of the community. She is not, she doesn't have enough money to buy herself a legal team, you know, and so in a lot of these cases, the biggest determining factor of, you know, how well you're going to do is whether you can afford to hire a private attorney or whether you have to stick with a defendant.
Yeah, and if yeah, and if the state wants to avoid like a race war on this, right? Like, she's easy to throw under the bus that she deserves to be under.
Yeah, quite possibly. Like, this is somebody that like, oh, she's just, you know, an angry coot.
Right.
Doesn't matter. And then the second factor I think in the success of her case is going to be what she's already admitted to.
Yeah,
those racial epithets and those racial comments. Even jurors who would normally be sympathetic to a woman defending her home, or, you know, who kind of like the idea of standing in the doorway of their homestead with a gun, you know, scaring off intruders. I think once they hear that, they're going to say, all right, that's too far.
Yeah.
That's too far. Confederate flag, okay, maybe, but you just said it. You said the
fucking word out loud. And the weirdest thing about it is, I mean, look, I wasn't there. We don't know the details, but it seems like she's lying about everything. She's like, ooh, I only threw the tablet near him. Ooh, even though I struck her in the chest, I aimed high. I was just trying to scare her. But then she's like, oh, racial shit? Oh, said that. Right? Like, why are you not lying about everything?
Yeah, I think, you know, I hope, I'm optimistic that this woman will face, that she's going to spend the rest of her life in prison, because she's 58 now, and the manslaughter charges are, I think she can get up to 30 years.
And it's more than just that. So she's got a manslaughter charge with a firearm, and she's facing charges of culpable negligence, battery, and two counts of assault. So I assume for, like, the umbrella stuff, right? Like, so that stuff's being put in there, too. So that's good. So she's not going to get away with that as well. And get this statement. This statement just blows my mind. If Lorenz posts bond, she will not be allowed to possess a firearm or any other weapon. Well, yeah. Like, is that even a question? You can post bond on a charge of, like, shooting somebody and, like, there's a chance you might get a gun? Why is that even mentioned? It's mind-boggling, the, like, fucking gun laws in our country, that's even, like, a question.
Oh, and I'm sure there, you know, there are people that would fight that. That there, you know, there's a segment of the population that would say, like, no, innocent to proven guilty. Give her a gun back. Like, the idea that we shouldn't have laws that make owning a firearm a regulated idea, it boggles my mind. But yeah, what really breaks my heart is when you look at the 10-year-old Owen's 10-year-old son, the one who I think had the skate thrown at him, he was standing next to his mother when she was shot.
Yeah.
And there are reports that he feels guilty.
Yes.
That he somehow caused this.
Yes. And he's going to live with that for life.
Yeah, he is. And you know, he's not to blame.
No, not even remotely. But I know that in his shoes, I would have felt the same way. And it's not because of the guilt. It's because if we had just left that woman alone, we'd still have our mom, right? And it's like, but she's pushed them to the point where they can't leave her alone.
Well, and they have reacted to her the way that, I mean, she's a 58-year-old woman. Her actions are her own. And she has been tormenting these children. And that kid is going to carry it with him the rest of his life. And then another child who was there blames himself because he wasn't able to perform CPR on his mother.
God.
Oh, like, you know, these kids are, you know, Lorenz hasn't just murdered someone. She has decimated a family.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are going to grow up absolutely, you know, traumatized for the rest of their lives for what they've witnessed and what they've been a part of. And the guilt that they feel over all this is going to follow them for the rest of their lives.
Right. And I hope that their family, the rest of their family seems very supportive, like the grandmother and the other family members. So hopefully they'll really embrace these kids and help them be raised the right way from this point. Because, I mean, you're looking at, like we said, possibly them coming from financial difficulties already. So not necessarily a great neighborhood. And then now they have to deal with this kind of guilt and just not having their mother there in their lives. You know, I can't see the future, and I hope the best for them, and I hope that their family really just helps them get where they need. But they've got hurdles to overcome, 100%, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, if it weren't for this angry, nasty, racist lady, you know,
yeah,
she's the difference. She's a terrible person, and she has destroyed this family.
Yeah,
and there's no other way. These kids are not to blame. I don't blame AJ at all.
No.
She reacted the way, and I mean, you talk to mothers, I don't care what race or age or whatever, you talk to mothers right now, you go out there and you say, hey, what would you do if a neighbor was constantly screaming, cussing, berating your kids and taking their stuff and then throwing it at them? And there's not a mother to say, I would beat that woman's ass.
Yeah. Right?
Like, her going up there, if people try to blame her for going up there and like, I'm gonna kill you, like, that is the natural response. That's how we would respond. Our children's safety and well-being is being threatened by this woman.
Yeah.
Her, she's going down.
Steve, when that lady took my basketball, my mom cussed that lady upside down. Cussed her out upside down, left, right.
I live in fear. I genuinely live in fear for the day that some adult treats Oscar badly and what he's going to get from Connie. Because holy shit, when she goes off on him, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
And I like, and that's the thing. Like, people, you know, that's the kind of stuff where people say, like, no. No jury would convict me for going after this lady for saying shit like that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I'm surprised this story wasn't the reverse with the things this woman was saying. Like, I'm surprised AJ didn't take her out a year ago, right?
You know, I think AJ came over there for a pound of flesh. Yeah. Her, like, all right, you know what? It's done. We're done. We're doing this. And she wanted...
She was going to whoop some ass.
Step out the door. She was going to get pelted. She was going to get punched in the face. She knew it was coming. She knew that ass beating was coming. This is a woman who runs from her car into her apartment.
Yeah.
When she sees AJ around. Like, it has for a while. I guarantee it. Fucking coward. A fucking coward. That she'll scream and yell at kids, but she's not going to face an adult.
Right. Dude, get this shit. I'm not sure that the kids that still live in that neighborhood, hopefully their families don't live in that area and they've kind of taken them out of there. Because if this woman gets out on bond, there's a lot of what ifs, right? If she gets out on bond and she's not evicted, she's allowed to stay in her apartment with an ankle monitor. But these kids would see this chick, like, through the window and shit. Like, if they were at that field, they would still see this woman who shot their mom.
Yeah.
Like, in their neighborhood.
It looks like they're living with her grandmother.
Okay.
From what I can tell. Oh, and I wonder if the grandmother lives in the area or not.
Hopefully at least far enough away that they don't have to ever encounter that woman again in their lives. If she even gets out on bond, because it sounds like she's really struggling to get that taken care of financially. But that's just a scenario where it's like, you could see this story escalating, because the one child's 10, the other one's older. I'm not sure of his exact age, but somewhere in his teenish area or age range, where, like, if you killed my mom, I'm kind of thinking that you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it's like, this is just a mess of a story.
Oh, it is. It's awful. And, you know, we've seen stories like this, and a few of them have gone both ways. So, like, do you remember the story of Ahmaud Arbery?
I do not.
Okay, so this was in Georgia, I believe. Here, he was a young black man who was running, like jogging, right? Running through neighborhoods. And he stopped at, like, a construction site, like, where they were building a home, okay? And I think he went into the house, looked around, and then took off running again, right? Well, a couple white neighbors of the house that's being built, they see him go in there. They think that he's stealing stuff or doing damage or something, and that him running away is a sign of his guilt. So they grab guns, jump in the car, or jump in several cars, and chase him down. They pull in front of him, block his way, pull guns on him. He, Ahmaud Arbery, is like, well, this is a 1940s lynch mob, and tries to escape, ends up wrestling with one of them, gets shot and killed.
Good Lord.
And it was months before any of these men were charged with a crime, because one of them was a former police officer, and the police said, well, that it was justified because they were worried that this guy was stealing stuff. And it took this story months to get into the national news because, well, for whatever reason, it wasn't getting covered, it wasn't getting attention. Once it finally did, and the facts of the case came out, the police had no choice but to finally arrest the South Georgia neighborhood, finally arrest the men responsible for it. And all three of them were convicted and sent to jail for the rest of their lives.
It's good that something finally happened, but it's just like, why so long?
It takes in neighborhoods like this, well, you know, with the good old boy network, it takes the attention of the country to finally get justice. And, you know, while this has only been like a week and this woman's been arrested, it still seems like, you know, if this is a black woman shooting a white woman, or if, you know, if race isn't an issue, perhaps the arrest is made sooner.
Right.
I can't help but think that, and of course that's conjecture, but it just seems like it happens time and time again. So,
all right, here's a question for you. Let's look at gun laws for a moment. So, if this woman really was making false police reports and the police have a history with her, which kind of sounds like they do, or else she might have just called 911 if this woman's on her door, like, threatening her life. And I'm sure the police have heard stories of her going after these kids, stealing these kids' stuff. Like, this isn't like a thing that just happened this one day. Like, she snapped and now she's stealing stuff and chasing people with umbrellas. This has been ongoing for a while. They said, like, she'd been bothering them for, like, years, right? So I don't know necessarily that she has any sort of mental health issues in her background, but I do know that she's already to the point where, like, she's doing things that most rational people wouldn't be doing to their neighbors. Why does this lady have the right at this point to own a firearm?
And it's because what laws would prevent her from doing that?
I would look at her mental health at this point and say that there should be some sort of testing we need to administer for you to see if you are eligible to own a firearm, given everything that's been happening.
There was a law that was put into place during Obama's administration, a federal law saying that if you were mentally deficient to the point where someone else had power of attorney over you, or someone had, you know, was essentially, you know, like, controlled your estate, your affairs, because you were mentally incapable of doing it. Think, you know, people with dementia or Alzheimer's who are incapable of taking care of themselves, or schizophrenic, mm-hmm. And they have a, you know, some
guardian
kind of guardianship, yeah. If you were in that position, you couldn't own a firearm. And that makes sense, right? Like, that is a base level. This would not have affected this woman at all. But, like, that law made sense. Well, during the Trump administration, that law was repealed. And so every attempt made to put any kind of restriction on who has access to it. You know, red flag laws. Red flag laws are when you've done something that is a red flag. Like, for instance, if you're arrested or convicted of domestic violence, the chances that you're going to use a firearm in the commission of violence, it rises like 900%.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it rises a lot. So there are places that say, like, if you are convicted of domestic violence, you are no longer allowed to own a gun. This woman, I don't know what laws could have been put in place.
I just feel, given everything she's doing, that she has a mental health record, like a history. Like, I don't feel like this person has never been in medical sort of center talking about her mental health, right? I just feel like there's something there. And like you said, that those things have not been allowed to be deterrents. But it's like, even if you're not looking at, like, murder, like this case, you're looking at populations of people that are statistically way more likely to kill themselves. And of course, you can kill yourself in many different ways. But especially men, the number one way that they kill themselves happens to be firearms. And the reasoning being that it's something quick and pretty permanent. Permanent meaning, if you take a bottle of pills, which is what women tend to do, and it's just a gender difference as far as probably aggression type of things that men seem to have more of. They go for something that's more, let's get it done, right? But pills, you have the chance of surviving way more than shooting yourself, right? So my whole point of that is, just because somebody might say, well, they were going to kill themselves anyways, that's not necessarily true. Or they might have done it in a way where they could have been saved, right? Where a gun is a permanent solution to a temporary problem that is instant and done with. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying someone with a mental history, like, of certain degrees and certain diagnoses, even if you're just doing it to protect them and not the public around them, shouldn't have firearms.
I think you might be giving this woman too much credit that she has either access, sought out health care, or mental health treatment. I don't think that enough people think that hatred, that pure, you know, hatred about racism, is a sign of a mental health disorder. You know, and I think we need to recognize that racism is a sign of unwellness.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's time for the DSM to put that in there. But this woman there, I don't know that she had anything identifiable, because we know hateful people.
Right.
We know people who are just full of anger and hate and nastiness, and they live these wretched existences, but they don't necessarily go and get help. This woman, you know, this is a, she probably had never been violent before, because this is a woman who has said terrible shit her whole life and didn't think that she would ever face consequences for it. Because, you know, being a woman, most people aren't going to pop her in the mouth, aren't going to punch her when she says something like that.
Yeah.
And so this is probably the first time where she was face to face with the consequences of her own actions, where AJ was standing in a doorway saying, "I'm going to whoop your ass. You step outside of this house, and take your ass whooping."
Yeah.
And that scared her so much that she fired the gun.
Right.
And so this is a person who's lived a hateful life and probably didn't do anything that got her noticed, got her, necessarily arrested. But like, maybe it's something police should have noticed from all of the calls. I guarantee you that she called the police and she was saying racist things to them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Talking about these kids in the third person as being, you know, N-words and da 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 da. I guarantee you the police just wrote it off as like, "Oh, that crazy kooky lady," or, "Oh, she reminds me of my grandma," or and who just didn't recognize it for the volatile situation that it was going to be.
Yeah.
We write off hate too much. We assume that hate is just some people's personality.
Right.
And not the mental health crisis that it is.
Yeah, and like, I really think it's interesting to look at it from a mental health perspective in what you were talking about with the DSM-5. I'm going to read you a definition, and you tell me if it kind of falls into what you see as, like, kind of embodies racism. This is the definition. An extreme or irrational fear or aversion to something. Now, wouldn't you think that racism sort of falls into that?
Yeah, that could possibly fit.
That's a specific phobia, which is a DSM categorization. So adding racism to the DSM-5 would would have to be the next version, so it wouldn't be the 5. But like, it would make sense, right? Because it's an extreme irrational fear of somebody that's a different race than you, right? It's not a normal thing.
Well, now when we have the term xenophobia, we have that term for people who are afraid of like foreigners, people who are different.
Yeah.
And maybe racism falls into that category somewhat, but I don't think that we recognize that. And I think also the problem with, and this is just like a public relations kind of thing, but the problem with calling racism a phobia is that it seems like it's too lighthearted. You know, I have arachnophobia.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly cool with like your idea that it should be its own diagnosis. I'm just using the phobia definition to illustrate that it clearly falls into the categorization of a mental illness.
Oh yeah, no, I get what you mean. I'm just saying, like, I think that like it probably best fits under like that xenophobia thing, but mm-hmm. like from a mental health standpoint, I don't think that does it justice as far as like just the public's reaction to those terms.
Yeah.
Like, what is it?
Yeah, phobia is like, "Ooh, I'm scared of spiders." And it's like, "Well, yeah, so am I." Yeah, yeah, but that's cool.
And I think this quote is attributed to Morgan Freeman, and I don't know if it's actually accurately his. You see it on social media. But the quote is, "I don't know why they say homophobia. They're not afraid of gay people. They're just assholes."
Yeah.
And that, you know, because it seems almost lighthearted, but... No, I think that whatever your brain does that allows you to see other people as lacking humanity in some way, that there has to be some chemical imbalance, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right with you. So if you're wrong, I'm wrong too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anything else about Ms. Lorenz in this case that you feel needs said?
No, I'm going to be following along. I hope this woman faces justice. I guess I'm so scared that it seemed like when we were growing up, racism was that thing that kind of existed, but it was behind closed doors.
Yes.
And maybe it's the area that we grew up in, because the area that we grew up in was very diverse, and so people who harbored racist ideas were less likely to say something because there were enough people around who would disagree with them. Or maybe it feels like when we were growing up that it was less acceptable, that we were less able to write it off, but it's making a comeback, man.
It's coming back hard. It's ridiculous. I mean, look, last week I watched The Little Mermaid with my sister-in-law, and it was amazing. And the whole point of that is just, like, you've got all these people out there right now that are posting all over every form of social media and thinking that it's completely acceptable, and then supporting other people that are saying this shit, that mermaids shouldn't be black. They should be white chicks with red hair, and it's ridiculous that they didn't try to stick to the character. And it's like, you're talking about a fictional creature, and people think it's okay to openly, in public, outright say that mermaids can't be black. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life, bro. What do you think?
It is insane how, I mean, like, there's clips, if you look on YouTube, of Megyn Kelly, who's a right-wing pundit. She's been on Fox News and all of, but of her, like, this was years ago, yelling about how, no, Jesus Christ was a white man. Like, no. No matter what you believe about Christianity or faith or whatever, this person who everyone calls Jesus Christ was verifiably not what you would call white. He was of Middle Eastern descent.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a rewriting of history, and it's this inability to see people who just as people. And then on top of that, like, there are videos off in the place of, like, young black girls watching The Little Mermaid and just, you know, being in awe and overcome by seeing themselves on the screen.
Yeah.
How do you not want people to see themselves? You know, it's shocking to me. It's so stupid.
Yeah. I just want to put this out there. Just a quick plug for the movie. Like, Titan's Daughters. I believe he's Titan.
Yeah.
And, they're all different races. There's like one of his daughters is Asian, one of his daughters is black. He's got, or he has two black daughters. Like, they're all a mix of races, right? Like, so they're very diverse in the mermaid races, and I thought that was really fucking kind of cool.
Yeah, because we are humanity. We're a tapestry of, like, and I mean, arguing about the race of a mermaid.
It's just insanity, right?
May be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, it was insane. But that's where we are now.
That's where we are. Alright, guys. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of Through the Abyss podcast, as we looked into Susan Louise Lorenz and the killing of AJ Owens. We greatly appreciate you guys' listens, and if you missed it, check out our last episode. But thank you guys for joining us. As always, you can find us on throughtheabysspodcast.com and Through the Abyss podcast on Facebook, and listen to the episodes on any podcast platform, including Apple, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc. As always, pod people, keep it real. Steve, you have a good day.
You too, bud. Thank you.
Thank you. Spooky stuff.